well, good morning, everybody. Happy Father's Day to all our dads here this morning. Hope you're going to have we hope you have a great day today. We hope that this service is a great kickstart to your day. We got a lot of things happening here this morning, and dads, and actually for everybody, in honor of our dads, as you leave here today, since our service gets over a little earlier than it normally would, on your way out the door, we'll be celebrating with our grads today. We'll have some cake out there, and then as you leave, we'll have some hot dogs. So everybody's welcome to get a hot dog in honor of dads. But the conies and the big hot dogs, those are dad's hot dogs, all right? So remember, those are dad's. All right, anyway, let me tell you about some of the stuff that's happening here this morning. We've got a lot of stuff going on. I'll see if I can remember most of it. First of all, if you are visiting with us today, or if you've never given us your contact information, in the seat back in front of you, there's a little welcome card. It looks just like the one up on the screen. We'd love to have you fill that out. If you fill it out and bring it to our guest services out there, our greeters, we have a special gift that we want to give you. If you're like, I'm an introvert, I don't like people, you can just scan that QR code, give us the information, and if you tell them, hey, I filled out the card online, we'll still give you the gift. And if that's too much to talk to somebody, you just don't get the gift. So I don't know what to tell you. But we do want to give you that gift. So anyway, we'd love to have you fill that out. And the next thing that I want to let you know about is this right here. You probably noticed this thing up here in the front and the fact that I'm wearing swim trunks, which is a little unusual on Sunday morning. And so we've got 7 people being baptized this morning. Yeah, 7. I know, it's super exciting. And here's the thing. If you're in this room this morning and you have made a decision to follow Jesus Christ, and you just never said, taking the step to be baptized, and if you feel like I'm supposed to do this, you let us know. As long as you can articulate your testimony and you're willing to share with people why you want to follow Jesus, we're ready to baptize you. And so you just have to let us know. And if you're like, that's too soon for me, Matt, I need to go through a baptism class and I need to be convinced for 3 years, all right, well, then talk to me. Okay, next thing is... Class of 2023, we have a couple of graduates that are here with us this morning we're going to honor. Yeah. If you've never been here on Grads and Dads Sundays, what we do is we have the moms and dads come up with the graduates, and we have the parents pray over them, and then we watch a little video tribute to them of their growing up. It's really great. It's a tearjerker, and we used to do it in the opposite order. And then on Father's Day, we would make all the dads cry as they tried to pray for their kids, and we realized that's probably not the best thing to do. So we switched the order around a little bit, but it's still going to be very impactful, so we're glad that you're here with us for that. And then lastly, if you are visiting with us today, just ignore this announcement, but for those of you that this is your church home and you're a part of New Hope, or if you're a membership partner, please remember to continue to just give sacrificially, gratefully, joyfully to the Lord. You can use that QR code. You can use the giving envelopes in the row behind you. We just really appreciate and are so thankful for, we want to start putting the information inside the bulletin so you guys can see where we're at, but I'm just going to tell you, right now the information is good. You guys have just been giving so faithfully to the church. We are running right on track with our budget, and everything is good, which is great to say when you're halfway through the year. And so I just wanted to say thank you so much for your generosity and for your faithfulness to the Lord in your giving. I think that's all I have by way of announcements. It is. So here's what we're going to do. Because we have so much happening this morning, and because I have to hop in a little tub of water here in a little bit, we're doing things a little differently with our teaching time. We've been walking through a series called Life with God, which is basically understanding what does it mean to have a relationship with God, and what are some postures that we take in our relationship with God that maybe aren't the most helpful. And so over the last few weeks, we talked about what it means to take a posture of life under God, life over God, life from God. And this morning, we're going to talk about what it means to take a posture of life for God in your relationship with God. And all 4 of those postures have something positive about them, but they also have things that aren't quite right. And so we'll explain that. But this morning, Sky Gitani, who is the author of the book that we've used as a part of this series, we're going to hear a message from him this morning after the baptisms. But I want to read a scripture passage to you this morning to kind of set that up. And so if you have a Bible with you, would you open it up to Luke chapter 15? Am I talking really fast?
No.
Okay. I had an energy drink this morning. Can you tell? It was like 4 cups of coffee or 1 can of energy drink, and I made the decision. So, because I'm wearing a wetsuit, and like to have 4 cups of coffee to could be really like, I gotta get out of this. So anyway, there you go. There's so every month the elders are like, you need a filter. You need more of a filter. I'm working on it. All right. All right. Luke chapter 15. And I want to read, I read part of this last week in the message. This is what we call the story of the prodigal son, or the story of the parable of the lost son. I actually want to read the whole story to you this morning, and we're just gonna dive right back into worship and our baptisms and everything else we have happening. It begins like this in verse 11. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to in the field to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, 'What's going on?' The servant said, 'Your brother has come home, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home and you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for your word that speaks into our lives. We thank you for your word that reveals who you are. And on this Father's Day, when we celebrate the dads in the rooms, God, more than anything, we want to celebrate that you are our good Father, that you are faithful. And as we read this story from Jesus, we realize that even though we tend to focus on these sons in this story, that this story is about the Father. And Jesus was painting a picture of who you are. And you are truly a good Father who loves us. God, you don't turn a blind eye to our sin. You desire our obedience, but ultimately you desire everything, the change that happens in us, the life that we live, the works that we do, to be to come from a place of gratitude, to come from a realization of who you are and how much you love us. So would you help us to grow in that understanding this morning as we go throughout the service? God, thank you so much for those who decided that they want to follow Jesus and they want everyone to know that they're following Jesus. And thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to celebrate with parents as we have two young ladies that are just moving on to a new stage in their life as they will be graduating from high school and just beginning the next phase of their life as young adults. God, in all these things, we trust you, we love you, and we give you all the praise and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you stand and sing this out with us? What they think you're like, but I
All right. it's actually not funny. I'm going to invite Eric Gray and his father, Dave, to come on up and join us. I think it's so cool that we got some dads jumping in the tank today. Itsy bitsy spider. All right. So, Eric, this is Eric Gray, everyone. And Eric, we have your testimony inside the bulletin, but would you like to say anything before we baptize you?
Do I get baptized, buddy?
to make it publicly known that I've decided to follow Jesus.
Awesome. Perfectly. Well, as I said, we have talked to Eric's parents. We've read his testimony in the bulletin, and because based on his faith in Jesus Christ and his decision to publicly declare that he is following Jesus, we're going to baptize him. Eric, we baptize you now in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. If you missed it, did you see that foot come flying up? So just from the aerial view, he went under, there's about this much of the head sticking out, and David realized it. And in his panic, he wanted to make sure it counted, so he did the second. Praise the Lord. At this time, I'm going to ask Evelyn Krill and her dad, Corey, to come on up and join us. Evelyn, I won't make this take too long, but did you want to say anything? Uh-huh. All right, awesome.
So why I want to say anything is because you always want to remember this. It's because whenever you need God, the Spirit is always there. And he does hard as he can to heal boo-boos, and he does hard as he can to save us.
Amen. Evelyn, we have your testimony in the little booklets that we have today, and we are so excited to have you here with us this morning, to have you be a part of our church, as you said in your testimony. I'll just slide that out of the way here, Corey. You have been a part of New Hope Church since the time you were born, so we're going to baptize you now. Evelyn, based on your decision to trust Jesus and to follow him all the days of your life, we baptize you now in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You can do it, Evelyn. Come on.
All the way.
All the way. Yeah. Let's hear it, Brown. I just love the demonstration of the difference of the gentleness between a father of a boy and a father of a girl. Hey, will you stand with us? We're going to continue in praise this morning together.
I will sing of the goodness of God.
I'm going to ask Heather Darby if she could come on up and join us. So Heather, we have your testimony in the bulletins, but would you like to share something with us?
Mm-hmm. So this is a really, really big deal. I haven't always been the best person, and you guys helped me so much, and Jesus brought me here for my kids, but he really brought it for me, and I just want to thank everyone. Woo!
Well, Heather, based on your public profession of faith to follow Jesus Christ with all your life, we baptize you now in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Where's Paul Gaiman? Thought maybe he took off when he saw the reaction.
That's wrong. Got cold feet.
So before Paul shares anything with you, not only is Paul being baptized today, but Paul is also a new membership partner of New Hope Church. Which is a big deal, right? So, Paul, would you like to share anything with us this morning?
I don't really have a whole lot to add to what's in the bulletin, but I'm very grateful for everything and Matt's human example.
Well, I'm honored, but so we have your testimony in the bulletin, and based on your desire to trust Jesus Christ with your life and to follow him all of your days, we're going to baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, would you stand with us? Yeah.
We're going to sing this chorus just two more times, guys, because it's so good to reclaim God's goodness.
And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
With every breath.
With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in, oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free, oh, is free. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. My Father's house,
Erskine to come join us. Refreshing, right? Well, Lori, we have your testimony in the bulletins, but would you like to share with us this morning?
I never thought I would be here. I spent many years searching for everything I could find that could give me peace and to feel loved. But it was in the darkest time of my life that I saw that the only way that I could ever experience that kind of love and that kind of peace was by giving my life completely to God. And I'm so grateful for the community here. To find people like this to walk me through this has been an answered prayer. So thank you.
Well, Lori, based on your testimony and your desire to follow Jesus Christ all the days of your life, we baptize you now in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Ask Laura Halbig if you come up and join us. Maybe if they'd give a little more, we could get a heater for the baptismal. Laura, we have your testimony in the bulletins, but would you like to share with us this morning?
I just want to say thank you, Jesus, for taking my place on the cross and for being with me every moment of my life.
Laura, based on your testimony and your desire to follow Jesus Christ all the days of your life, we baptize you now in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Tate Archer. Yeah, we'll see if I can get through this. Tate, super excited to have you here this morning. We have your testimony in the bulletins, but would you like to share this morning?
So in this past year of going to college, I feel like I've grown in my faith more than I have in all the other years of my life. But so while I feel like it's about time that I'm getting baptized, I'm just happy that the timing is right, and I'm really grateful and excited to take this public step of obedience. So,
Tate, we have your testimony, and based on your public profession to follow Jesus Christ all the days of your life, we baptize your name now in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, we're going to continue in song together, so would you stand with us? And let me just give a word of thanks. Father, thank you so much. Thank you first and foremost, as was said multiple times in here, for the gift of Jesus Christ. God, there's no better proof of your desire to be with us, for us to be with you, than the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, that you gave your one and only Son, that we might not perish but have everlasting life with you. And God, that is the desire of our hearts. And God, would you help us to be people who experience that life day to day right now, so that those around us and our families and our workplaces and our schools who don't know you would see the joy that comes from knowing Christ and would be drawn to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's declare this together.
Who the Son sets free, all is free.
Almost every ancient creation myth carries the same message, and that's that humans were created to be used by the gods. This is because in pagan communities, it was believed that the gods required our help. They needed humans to grow their food for sacrifices. They needed humans to build them houses as temples. They needed humans to fight their wars with one another. In all these stories, humans are just the help. They were servants to do the gods' bidding. That's what makes the biblical story of creation so different. Rather than a God who needed our help, what the Old Testament says is that God doesn't need us at all. He says, the entire cosmos is my temple. I don't dwell in a house built by people. And he said, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you, for mine are the cattle on 1,000 hills. Over and over and over again, what we read is that the Creator God is actually self-sufficient, and he did not make us because he needs our help. Instead, what the Hebrew story of creation tells us in Genesis is that God created us not to serve him, but to represent him. He gave us great dignity as his image bearers on the earth, and that completely changes our understanding and purpose of religion. Pagan religions say that we have to control God through obeying him, and that if we serve him, he will bless us. But if God doesn't need our help and we're not actually his servants, then what's the point of faith? That leads us to another posture, what I call life for God. We already talked about how many people in a consumer society try to view God as a way of getting what they want. That was the life from God posture. It put the self and its consumer desires at the center of everything and expected God to serve us and give us what we want. In an attempt to correct that posture, some people have said, the goal of life is not to get what you want from God. Instead, you should be used by God, that you should serve him and accomplish his purposes. That's what I call the life for God posture. And it's sort of pagan in its understanding, because what it communicates is that God's primary interest in you is using you to accomplish his purposes in the world. As you can imagine, this posture is incredibly popular among people who are in vocations of ministry, church leadership, or missions, because so many of us have gotten our own sense of significance and identity from all the things that we are doing for God in the world. And sometimes we communicate that to others by telling them, your life can be more significant as well if you would just do more for God and less for yourself. It's a really appealing and intoxicating message. And frankly, it even has some biblical justification. We read throughout the New Testament about being servants of Christ Jesus. Paul identifies himself as Christ's slave. And of course, we've heard many messages about the importance of spreading the gospel, being witnesses of Jesus Christ, and those other missional passages of the Bible. We are absolutely called to obey God's commands and follow his calling for us in the world. But is that really the centerpiece of his interest in us? I want to go back to that story of the prodigal son that we've already talked about. Remember, the father had two sons, and we dealt with the younger son in the posture of life from God. But the older son, in my view, represents life for God. The older son was the obedient one, always did what his father commanded. When he learned that his younger brother had returned home and his father had thrown a party for him, the older son became angry, indignant. He refused to go in and join the party. Instead, the father came out into the field to ask his older son to come in and join the celebration, but the son refused. And in Luke 15, what Jesus articulates about this older son is really fascinating. He says to his father, look, all these years I've served you. I've done everything you've commanded me to do. But where's my party? Where's my celebration? When am I going to be honored? But this son of yours who squandered all of your wealth with wild living and prostitutes has the fattened calf killed for him? You could almost hear the son say, are you kidding me? Why is this fair? Notice where the older son finds his significance. He says, all these years I've served you. I've done everything you've commanded. He's the good son, and he expects to be rewarded for it. This is the person who lives their life for God, trying to obey everything he's commanding you to do. But notice that under that obedient surface is a more sinister motivation. He wants value and significance from the whole community for his obedience to his father. That's what's so dangerous about the life for God attitude. It teaches us that our significance to God is found in our service rather than in our presence. Years ago, I was leading a group of college students who went to a Christian college and talking through struggles they had with their faith. As we gathered together one night, we talked about the presence of what they called habitual sins in their lives. These are struggles they had that they couldn't quite get rid of. And in our conversation, I asked them a question. I said, I don't want to know the particulars of the sin you're struggling with, but tell me, what does God see in you, or how does he view you in the midst of your sin? And what came out from the discussion was fascinating, and I realized that so many of these students had been shaped by this life for God posture. For example, one young woman said that her parents had been missionaries overseas, and she grew up in this incredible Christian community and saw God do amazing things through them. And yet she was struggling with sin in her life. And she wondered, how will God ever use me the way he's used my parents if I'm still struggling with sin? Another student quoted scripture. He said, to whom much is given, much is expected. And God has given me so much, and he expects more from me than my sinful behavior. One by one, the students went around, some with tears, talking about how God's disappointed with them, frustrated with them, angry at them, because he can't use them to accomplish his work in the world because of their sin. After listening to them for about an hour, I asked them a few follow-up questions. I asked, how many of you grew up in a home where your parents were both committed to Christ? They all raised their hands. I said, how many of you went to a church where the scriptures were taught and the gospel was preached? Again, they all raised their hands. And that's when my heart broke. Because what I told these students is, none of you gave the right answer. None of you said that in the midst of your sin, God loves me. They'd probably been singing it since they were children in the church nursery. Jesus loves me, this I know. But that's not the answer that came to mind when I asked the question about their sin. Instead, the message they had really internalized from 2 decades in the American church was not that God loves them, but that God primarily wants to use them. And even the absence or presence of sin in their life was all seen through the lens of how effective can I be to accomplish the things God wants done in the world. That attitude that God primarily wants to use us, that's not Christian. It's pagan. It's the belief that God needs me to accomplish his purposes in the world. Let me tell you, if God needs us to do anything, he is not a God worthy of our worship. because any God that needs me cannot be any greater than me. Now, the message of Jesus is something else. It's not that God primarily needs us. It's that God wants us. That's the heart of the gospel, that he sent his son to die for our sins and reconcile us to himself so that we might be called the children of God once again. If you've fallen into the trap of believing that your primary purpose in this world is to accomplish things for God, you're putting the cart before the horse. Yes, God has called us to do things in this world. Yes, we are called to be obedient to those things. But his primary interest is not in using you. He wants you. And that's the real message of the gospel. So we've covered the four popular postures, ways that people relate to God: life under God, life over God, life from God, and life for God. Each of them are rooted in fear, this insecurity about the world or my value within it. And they each seek some form of control so that we don't have to be afraid. But as we've seen, in one way or another, they all miss the mark on what Jesus actually taught us. And none of them actually deliver us from our fear, and our desire for control, rather than making the world a better place, actually makes it worse. So now we need to turn our attention to the true message of Jesus and how it breaks this cycle of fear and control and opens us to a completely different way of relating to God.
So next week, we will conclude this series as we talk about what it means to live life with God. When I was a youth pastor, one of the things that I used to do and try to help the students apply and understand whatever it was I was talking about, because I know sometimes that can be hard to understand, we would always kind of wrap things up with this idea of head, heart, and hands. And I think I've got a little slide there, those icons. And what we meant by head, heart, and hands is, in light of what we've just heard, in light of what we just read from God's word, what do I need to know about this? And then with my heart, what do I need to feel about this? And then finally with my hands, what should I do about this? And it just was a way of helping us process and kind of move outward with what we were taking inward. And so I want to do that just a little bit, because I think this idea of life for God is probably the hardest one for us to really grasp, because it feels in so many ways like, well, that should be the right posture. I should live my life for God. And truthfully, God does call us to be missional. We have the Great Commission that was the last thing that Jesus told his disciples. But the reality is that everything that we do outwardly should flow out of what our relationship with God is doing inside of us. And that's the most important thing for us to grab onto and understand. So as we think about this, these different postures, and as we think about the life for God posture and why we shouldn't take this, what should we know? What should we know? Well, what we should know is that God values your relationship with him more than what you can do for him. Okay, it's really important that we grasp that we understand that God values more our relationship with him than what we can do for him. He cares more about your person than he does about your production. Okay, he's far more concerned. And we said this even in the last service, in the last series, that God wants to do a work in you, with you. He wants to bring about transformation inside of your life, but he wants to do that with you, not apart from you, not in spite of you, but with you. And then what he wants to do is a way of blessing you, as a way of bringing glory to himself, because he deserves it. He wants to do a work through you, with you. And so it's really important that we understand this. What should I feel then? What I should feel then is that you've been set free from the need to earn God's love and acceptance. It's a pretty hard thing to try to earn love and acceptance from God when the reality is, like, it's not something that he has set up for us to earn. It's God loves you because you are his, because you are his creation. Mankind was made in his image. And the reality is there's nothing that you can do to earn your way to God. He has made a pathway available for you. That's what we said before. This is how God demonstrated his love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God did everything necessary for us to not only know and feel the truth that we don't have to earn our way to him, but to provide a pathway for us to just enter into that relationship through Jesus Christ. So then what should I do finally? Well, as you pursue God's love by following Jesus, let your love and service of others be an overflow of what he is doing in you. If you look at your life and you say, you know, well, I don't really care a lot about other people. I'm not really ever moved to do anything. I just, you know, my faith is just my personal belief, and that's kind of it. Well, I think you should take a step back and question why that is. Because as you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ, as you grow in your relationship with God through Jesus Christ, as you begin to understand what he has done for you, it's just a natural outflow of our life to say, you know what, I need to treat other people in such a way that they understand the idea of grace, in such a way that they understand the idea of compassion. And because that shows that you're understanding what God has done in your life. And I wouldn't say this, try to do more things for other people. What I'd say is push more into God through Christ. Like spend more time with him, asking him to draw you in. It was Jesus who said in John 15 that if you abide in me and in my love, I will produce fruit, good works, the fruit of the Spirit in you. But apart from me, you can do nothing. So his desire, first and foremost, is always for us to be with him. And then he wants to take what he's doing inside of us as an outflow of that for us to work in the lives of others. And that's really what we want to be about as individuals in our relationship with him. It's what we want to be about as a church. It's what I get excited when we see people come up here and say, I want to follow Jesus, because I know that not only are they giving a testimony to all of you, but I know that God is working in their hearts and in their lives, and other people are going to see that outside of this building. We're going to ask the team to come up as we close together this morning. And oh, no, we're not. Oh, my goodness. Whew. Oh, man. We're going to ask the Grays at Dave and Carolyn and Elena to come up and join us, and the Durkins, Matt and Jeanette and Emily, to come on up and join us. And so, Durkins, why don't you stay right over here on this side, and Grays, you can stay over on that side, and I'm going to take turns bring this microphone over to Mom and Dad, and we're going to let them pray. This is Emily. Emily has been with us for ever since she was a junior high student, I remember, because she came to our house for a small group back then. And so, Emily, we're excited to see what God's going to do in your life. And so, Matt, I don't know if you or Jeanette want to pray, but would you guys go ahead and pray for her?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity thank you for everything you've done in our lives, for setting us free from sin. We pray that in Emily's life she would go forward and follow you with all her heart, and that she would continue to excel in her school and her work and everything that she does in the future. And we ask that you would bless her life and everything, all the people that she meets, that she would be loving and compassionate and kind and a good steward, and everything that you've given her, that you would continue to bless her. Amen.
Emily, this is a small gift for you from your church family.
Let's hear it for Emily and the Durkins. You guys can go back and sit down. And Matt, this is that time just to take some deep breaths. Get ready, Matt. Okay. Dave?
Yeah.
This is Elena.
So I do want to introduce Elena as well, in part because you guys don't get to see her a lot, because she's usually stuck in that back corner, because for a number of weeks she was like the only person running the tech stuff for us. So thank you for your service, Elena.
Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you give us influence with friends and peers. Lord, I just thank you for the privilege it is to be a mom, and to be able to raise kids is incredibly scary and crazy, and I thank you for the wild ride that has been, Father, and I just pray that as Elena goes, Lord, that your word would flourish in her heart, Lord, that it would grow and grow out of control, Lord, that your word and your love and your power would just be evident, Lord. We just thank you for this life that you created, Lord, and we just commit her to you again and again and again every day. Father, we just thank you for the honor to be her parents, and we love you so much.
I agree. Amen.
Elena, this is a small gift from your church family. Congratulations. So we're going to take just a moment now and share a quick tribute video for these families. In fairness, I get choked up making those videos, and they're not even my kids. So congratulations. I'm going to ask the team if they'd come up and they would lead us as we close our service together this morning. So unfair. Would you guys stand with us?
Told us we had to be ready to pinch hit to sing, but I can't play guitar, so we need you.
Above every other name.
bless the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show.
See what great love the Father has lavished upon us, that we might be called sons and daughters of the God Most High. Amen. Amen. Well, as you go from this place this morning, I want to invite you to share a piece of cake with us in honor of our graduates. There's some hot dogs as you walk out. There's another special gift to all the dads out there from the kids that are here this morning. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you next week.
John.